You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, woohoo! Yeah. Everybody say received. Now, see, that's a huge, that's a big word, received. Because, you know, you can come to church and a minister can get up and preach and speak the word, say the word, whatever. But it doesn't necessarily mean everybody receives it. You know, this is not a spectator sport, as it were. I mean, when we come to church, we're all involved in this process. When I preach a message, we're all involved in this process. I mean, when the quarterback throws the football, there's got to be a receiver on the other end to get it. Just him throwing a football in the end zone was not a touchdown. It has to go into somebody's hands, and they have to catch it. Now, I don't consider myself a quarterback. I believe God throws the ball. But I think God often gets a bad rap because we're not receiving. Isn't that right? I mean, he's throwing that ball. You say, well, God, I don't know about God healing. I don't know about God saving. I don't know about God doing all. Look at all the evil in the world. Well, there's a lot of evil in the world, no question. A lot of people aren't saved. A lot of people don't get healed. A lot of people don't get the prayers answered. But, you know, a lot of people don't pray. You can't blame God for that. I mean, you can't blame the quarterback for throwing a ball when the receiver's standing out there with his hands behind his back. I mean, the quarterback can be accurate. He can hit him right in the chest, hit him in the head, hit him in the knee. But he's not going to catch it unless he receives it. Isn't that true? And so God's Word, well, if God's so good, how come this is happening? Well, let me ask something. Well, those people you're talking about, are they praying? In most cases, probably people don't even know the Lord. And yet we're blaming God for all the evil in their life. And yet they've never even sought God, never even called on God. All those starving kids in Ethiopia? Hello. You often hear that one, you know. There has to be somebody on the receiving end of this thing. And the problem with that is, you know, God looks bad in their mind because the bad stats, as it were, just like a quarterback can be a very good quarterback. I'm not talking about Eli Manning. I'm talking about a good quarterback. A quarterback can be a good quarterback. Might have to edit that out of the tape anyway. He can throw the ball accurate. Hit that receiver every time. But if that receiver doesn't catch that ball, that goes down as an incomplete pass. Yeah. And if you look up the stats on that quarterback, it's not going to tell you the receiver dropped the ball. It's not going to tell you that it hit the receiver right in the chest. It's not going to tell you the receiver's looking the other way, hit him in the helmet, you know. It's just going to say incomplete pass. Yeah. And so the quarterback looks bad because the receiver didn't catch it. Now, I'd submit to you, in a lot of cases, that's what the problem is with people's perception of God, is we're not believing like we should, or we're not praying at all, and then something bad happens, and then God gets a bad rap because there's nobody receiving. Woo! That's why Paul's getting all excited here, because they received it. Belief in the truth, as we saw over there in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. By the Holy Ghost, because that wasn't planned. He said, I thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, whoo, man. Now, hey, not International Outreach Church doctrine, not Baptist doctrine, not Catholic doctrine, not Methodist doctrine, not Church of Christ doctrine, not Assembly of God doctrine, not Pentecostal doctrine, not Lutheran doctrine. Thank God for all those churches, but this is not... This Bible is not Baptist doctrine. This Bible is not International Outreach Church doctrine. This Bible is God's Word.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Well, now, we over at this church, we believe this. Don't even go there, okay? Because that's not even right. How do you even get in faith when you're labeling doctrines that you believe with a man's name or a church's name? Thank God for churches. You understand what I'm saying? I'm for churches. I'm pro-church. This is a church. But this is not International Outreach Church doctrine. This is God's Word. You're not believing International Outreach Church. You're not believing the Southern Baptist Convention. You're not believing the Pope. You're not believing the Deacon Board or the Elder Board. You're not believing the Presbyterian Board. You're not believing the diocese. You're believing hopefully, God.
Amen.
And His Word.
Yeah.
Mm.
Amen.
Well, I'm just not Pentecostal. Or I'm just not Baptist. Well, I just, you know, I'd like to believe that, but you know, I'm Catholic. Or I just don't want to believe that. Whoa. Well, forget all that. I mean, you know, well, we have our rules of faith here. Now, we have our bylaws and we have all. I understand that. I think there's legal, you know, there's legal reasons for having bylaws in our country and forming, you know, corporations and 501c3s and religious organizations. But we ought to know individually, personally, we ought to know that what we believe is what God says, and we believe it because God says it, not because it's in a bylaw or Constitution somewhere.
That's good, Pastor.
Mm. Y'all out there?
Yep.
I know these Wednesday nights are personal. You know, they're just down home. They're like fireside chats.
That's right.
For this reason, we thank God. Also thank God without ceasing. Because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, thank God they were preaching the Word, you welcomed it or you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God,
amen.
Which also effectually works in you who believe. I love that. Now, it's powerless on the coffee table with your genealogy in there, you know. Nice sentiment. I mean, you can learn a lot about genealogy from old family Bibles. Nothing wrong with having a big old Bible on your coffee table, you know. Be careful not to get coffee stains on it. But that's not going to help you on the coffee table. It only works when it's in you that believe. Believe. And believers, people that have the Bible in them, believers that have the Bible in them, are people who believe that this is not man's word, but this is God's word.
Amen.
I know that's simplistic and you'd think, well, we ought to all know that. But sometimes we don't. I think sometimes we think, oh, that's that prosperity teaching, or that's that faith teaching, or that's that Baptist teaching, or that's that Methodist teaching, that's that Pentecostal teaching, or oh, that's, I know what that is, that's just that confession teaching over there. Whoa, watch the labels. Is it Scripture? Before we put it in a box and compartmentalize it and throw it on a shelf somewhere, is it Scripture? Does God say that? And, of course, you have to settle that. Do you believe this is God's Word? If you do believe it is, then let's settle the matter and let's just quit drawing similarities between different groups and say, well, that's just like they believe, just like the, oh, you know, Satan worshipers speak in tongues. Well, actually, I didn't know Satan worshipers speak in tongues, to tell you the truth. I do know they did in the Bible in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. They were Christians. They were believers. Paul was a tongue talker. So was Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. I know that, but I don't know about Satan worshipers. I know I used to be lost and did drugs and jails, and when I get drunk and messed up, I never spoke in tongues. I do know that. Are you out there? But I mean, I slurred my language, but it wasn't tongues. I've never really gone to a satanic ritual, so I don't really know what they do, but if they do, it doesn't really change what God says. Hello. Well, that's just Pentecost. Well, I don't know. If it's Bible, it's Bible. I mean, you got to go with Bible. I made my decision a long time ago. I'm just going to go with what God says and quit trying to put everything in a box.
Amen.
You know, and say, okay, this is that, Doc. This is, you know, because I'll talk about being born again. Some people say, oh, well, that's Baptist. You're a Baptist. Well, no, I believe like the Baptists do on being born again because that's a biblical term.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God for the Baptist message on being born again. Thank God for Baptists that preach salvation by faith. Are you with me? Thank God for that message. Thank God for the teaching on the born-again experience. Hallelujah. But that's not Baptist. They just have to be teaching that. That's Bible. And for that, we thank God for Baptists. And we thank God for Methodists. And we thank God for Catholics. There's some good stuff in a lot of different churches. But it's got to be God's Word. Are you out there? Hallelujah. So if you want to say we're like that, well, yes, we are. We're like a lot of churches. Goodness, we believe like a lot of churches on a lot of things. There are some things we don't believe that some of the churches do believe. There are some people, things they don't believe we do believe. And you know, but we hope that what we believe is the Bible because that's really what matters. That we can prove it, that we can show it to you in the Scripture, and that we're being consistent with the Scripture in context. Paul was thanking God that when this church, the Thessalonians, the First Thessalonians, not second, First Thessalonians, when they received the Word of God, that they did not receive it as the Word of men, but as it was in truth, the Word of God, which effectually or productively worked in them that believed. Whoa, this is good stuff now, because the Bible, God's Word, if you receive it as such, and it's not man's Word, it's not my Word, it's God's Word, if you'll recognize it as such and get it in you and believe it, it'll begin to work, because it works in you that believe.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
You know, it reminds me of Ephesians, the first chapter, 17th verse, that great prayer where he says, he prays that God would grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His call and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that you might know the exceeding greatness of His power. The 19th verse, first chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians 1:19, that you would know, he's praying that you'd know this, that you'd know the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.
Amen.
Man, that's powerful. To usward who believe. Believing is the key. Believing, it's the Word. Believing it's God's Word is the key. Of course, it goes on, it says, the 19th verse says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Woo! Given Him to be the head over all things of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Man, that's a powerful prayer. I love that prayer. But if you'll back up there, you'll begin to see that believing is what connects us with His power. He's wanting us to know what the exceeding greatness of His power is to us who believe. It's not to everybody, but it's to everybody that believes. Isn't that right? It's not to those that don't believe. I mean, the Bible won't work for you if you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Often people will come in churches like ours and something will happen. Maybe it's a little different than what they're used to. And they'll say, well, I don't believe that. Well, don't worry. It's not going to happen if you don't believe it. You got to believe it for it to work, to happen.
Amen.
You got to believe to be saved. You got to believe the truth.
Yeah.
That's how the Spirit works. He works with believing the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were a painter, I'd need paint to paint with, wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't hire a painter to come to your house and don't give him any paint and say, paint my house. Or hire a carpenter and just have them come out and say, I want you to build this and build that, but you don't give them any material to work with. No hammer, no wood. Are you out there? Well, often we're waiting on God to do something, the Holy Spirit to move in our life, you know, but we don't have any word. We don't even know what the Scripture says. Well, a carpenter works with wood, a painter works with paint, and the Holy Spirit works with the Word.
That's good. That's very good.
So He's only able to build and do according to how much Word, how much of His promises you know, how much of what are you standing on, what are you believing for? Oh, I'm just believing for something to be better. What? Sometimes we need to be a little more specific, and we need the Word to be specific. The Word is our ticket, as it were. You know, I call on Jesus, that's specific. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how I got saved. I didn't just call, just say, hey, do something with me. Save me, you know. I said, Jesus. And that's what the Scripture tells us. So, you know, find out what the Word says and receive it as the Word of God.
Yeah.
And know this, that it effectually works in you that believe. It works. That's what it was made to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it works for some people, not for me. Yes, it does. It'll work for you if you believe. You remember Mary, you know, Mary told Gabriel, she said, be it unto me according to thy word.
Yes.
Remember she said that? Gabriel visited Mary. She said, how shall this thing be? And he says, well, the power of the highest will overshadow you, and the Holy Ghost will come on you, you know, and that thing which will be born of you will be called, will be of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And she said, be it unto me according to your word.
Yeah. Amen.
I love that. And when she went in to see her cousin Elizabeth, remember that? who was 6 months with child. She had John the Baptist, already 6 months with child, going to have that John the Baptist 3 months later. She walked into Elizabeth's house, who was her cousin, and the Bible says the baby leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Began to prophesy. Elizabeth did. Woo! With a loud voice, it says. It wasn't a staid, quiet service. And she said, "Blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord." Now think about that.
Wow.
I mean, let's connect the dots here. Or as Dr. Burr was saying, let's bridge the gap here. What was performed for Mary? Well, obviously the things that were told her. But why did God perform the things that He told her? Because she believed. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her. Well, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I read a lot of Bible. I read lots of promises. I'd like for them to be performed, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I would like to see those things, in Mary's case, become flesh and dwell among us. Because that's what happened. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I love that. But there's a lot of promises here, a lot of words here, a lot of things God said that I have to admit in my life have not become flesh. They have not dwelt in among me, and I have not beheld their glory. Anybody agree? Anybody concur? Can you think of some promises that hadn't quite made flesh yet? And, you know, you hadn't beheld the glory of the promise yet? It's not really dwelling among you, as it were. Well, the key to that is get in faith concerning that thing. Start praying that promise. I mean, start looking at it, meditating, chewing on it, thanking God for it. And then do like Mary said and say, "Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I am healed in Jesus' name. I am healed in the name of Jesus. You said by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed." 1 Peter 2:24, that is your word. It stands eternal in the heavens. It is a fact. It's what you said. That's the truth of the matter. "Now be it unto me according to your word, I believe that. You said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee." Exodus 15:26. I believe that. Hallelujah. You said, Psalms 103:3, that you not only forgive my iniquities, but you heal all my diseases. Woohoo! Are you with me? That's what your word says. Now I believe that, so that I'm believing that's going to effectually, productively work in me as I believe. I'm not going to drop that ball. I'm going to receive that ball. Call me a receiver.
Yeah.
Amen? Let's don't have butterfingers here, okay? Let's don't let these things slip. These promises slip through our fingers. Because sometimes they do. They slip through our fingers. Because we're not alert. We're not in position. We're not holding on to the ball. We're Christians. We love God. We're going to heaven. But you know, we're not focused like we should be on this thing. That ball's coming at us. God's hitting us every corner. Every time we turn around, we're just dropping it. We're not holding on to it. You know, think of Hebrews 4 tells us this. And it's talking about the children of Israel that perished in the wilderness and in the third chapter. And then in the fourth chapter, it says, "Let us therefore fear in light of those people that perished in the wilderness. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of us should seem to come short of it." That's really kind of interesting the way they said that, the writer of Hebrews. How do you come short of a promise? Now, you know, I don't work my way to heaven. I don't earn my rights. It's all through faith, all through grace. Amen? So what is he talking about? The promise is a dollar and I got a quarter? Is that what he's saying? I'm 75 cents short? Is that what he's trying to tell me? Well, I'm short somehow, but what am I short in? It can't be works, because that whole third chapter talked about they couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. So let's follow along there. It says, fourth chapter, first verse, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it," second verse, "for the word preached the gospel, the word was preached to them as well as unto us, but the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh, come on now. Did you get that? Did you hear that? So God wanted all of them to go into the land of Canaan. He wants all of us to enter into His rest. I believe He wants all of us blessed, hallelujah, not cursed. But see, we come short. That doesn't make us really bad people. I'm not saying that. No super people in here. I've come short. You've come short. But, you know, what we determine passionately, bulldoggedly, as it were, to hang on to and hold on to, I will guarantee you, according to the Scripture, you'll get. You'll get it if you don't back off. Because faith in God's Word is how the Word works. Brenda even prayed it. She said, and she was praying Jeremiah 1:12 when she said this, she said, you know, thank you for watching over your Word to perform it. Yeah. Watching over what? Word. His Word. To do what? Word. To perform it. Okay. So He doesn't just meet needs. He's already done that 2,000 years ago. He's looking now for His Word. As soon as you stand on His Word, He'll perform it. And I think in most cases, in my life, it's that way. I'm not necessarily standing on the Word. So He's not really performing it because that's the only thing He performs. Painter needs paint. Carpenter needs wood. God needs His Word. And He needs our faith in His Word. That's how it works. So if the Word's going to profit us, Hebrews 4:2, if it's going to profit, and that whole chapter really is about believing, it's about the Word, because the 12th verse is a very classic verse, says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder of spirit and soul and the divider of the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is quick, alive, and it is powerful, energized. That word is, we get the word energy from that. It's quick, alive. Hallelujah. It's a living word. It's not a dead word. I love that. But that's the fourth chapter, and you back up there, that second verse, the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hallelujah. Man, I want to mix faith in when I hear it. Paul was thanking God here that when they received the Word of God, they received it as it was in truth, not the Word of man, but the Word of God, which effectually or productively worked in them that believe. In Ephesians 1:19, he prayed that we know what is the exceeding greatness of His power. Seeing greatness of His power toward them that believe. In them that believe. His power is earmarked. Believers only. Salvation is earmarked. Believers only. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say everybody be saved. He said whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say everybody would not perish and have everlasting life. He said whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So believing is a key. And boy, it got Paul all excited here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, because they did receive it. They received it, hallelujah. To believe it is to receive it. And that's where it's working. It's working in believers. It may not look like it, but it's working in believers. You know, you have some, not to be crude here, but you've got spiritual guts and you've got spiritual intestines. Let me explain that. When you eat something, and you sit at the table and you eat, and y'all eat pretty good. I'm not throwing anybody out. Some of y'all eat pretty good, I can tell.
Sweet.
You don't really think about digesting that food, do you? You think about digesting your food? I don't think about it. I just eat. Because if I get it in me, my body will take over. Digest it. Isn't that right? Okay.
Wow.
Well, if you'll just get the Word in you, you're a believer. I'm a believer. How about you?
Yes, sir.
If you decide, I believe that, then your spirit will begin to work on it. It'll digest that. It'll work on it. It's an unconscious, involuntary procedure. It goes on in your body. And it goes on, spiritually speaking, too. If you'll do your part and get the food in your mouth, the calories will come, okay? Sorry about it. But if you get the Word in you, if you receive the Word, because that's the key now, you've got to receive it. If you receive it and you believe her, You don't have to work it. Your spirit will just take over. Start digesting, start processing.
That's right.
The farmer goes and plants seed in the ground. He doesn't have a tunnel under there where he's under there looking at it every day and working with that ground, making it germinate that seed. No, the earth will take care of itself. The earth will bring forth of itself. And your heart, your spirit will bring forth the promises of themselves if you will believe them. Because the word of God effectually worketh in you that believe.
Amen.
That's the connection we got to make here. I mean, God wants it to happen. It's His will already. He's already decided. We're not making anything happen God doesn't want. This is His will. And if you're going to look at the processes of God, the way God works, you have to think agriculturally. We often think in terms of, you know, mathematics or, but that's really not true. God does things agriculturally. Most all the examples of the Bible have to do with planting, you know, sowing, reaping, dying, seed getting in the ground, burying, rising again, all these things. They're agricultural terms. And it's getting to make a connection, getting that word in you, then it'll begin to work. Well, I believe when I see it. Well, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Because you just stopped it from getting in there when you said that. If you say, I believe, then it'll get in you, and it'll begin to work. Well, Isaiah 55, what is it? Turn over to Isaiah 55. I'm quoting all these verses. You need to look at them. I hope you're writing notes. This is just something on my heart I want to share tonight. Is this helping you?
Mm-hmm.
We're just taking apart the word, basic Christianity. I love this one because this is one everybody quotes out of context. I'm telling you. I get so tickled how the Bible is misused and abused and misquoted out of context and so on. Can I kick over a sacred cow? I may kick over a herd of them tonight. But anyway, you know, let's kick over a couple of them. That's plenty for one night. Notice this in Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Is that what I told you to turn to? Yep. Let the wicked forsake his way. Y'all believe that? A couple of you do. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I believe that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Now wait a minute. Whoa. I thought he was just saying that to everybody. Is he just saying that to everybody? My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. Well, you never know what the Lord's going to do, because his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and his ways aren't our ways. You know who he's talking about? Wicked. Unrighteous. What is God's thoughts and what are his ways on salvation? I hope you know the answer to that one, because you're not going to go to heaven if you don't. Don't pull that, his thoughts are not my thoughts and his ways are not my ways, when it comes to being saved. We know what his thoughts are concerning salvation. He wants none to perish. He so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish and have everlasting life. I know his thoughts on that. I know his ways on that. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I know that. I'm not in doubt about his thoughts on that. Are you out there? What are God's thoughts on salvation? What he says. So what is he saying? My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. In context, he just got through telling the wicked man to forsake his way, the unrighteous man to forsake his thoughts. Let them return to the Lord. He will have mercy, and to our God he'll abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, O unrighteous man, nor my ways your ways, O wicked person. My thoughts are not wicked, and they are not unrighteous. Make sense? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's righteous thoughts are so much higher than wicked thoughts that it's like the heavens over the earth. Hello. And have you ever heard that when something happens, you don't know what happened? Well, his thoughts, not our thoughts. Or some tragedy happens. That's what gets me. Some tragedy happens. Something bad happens, and they'll say, Well, you know, His ways are not our ways. Would you please quote that in context? Yeah, I don't believe His ways are wicked. And I don't believe His thoughts are unrighteous. That's the point He's making. Yeah. You know what Ephesians 5:17 says? It says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So evidently God wants us to know His will. His will is His word. Amen? Yeah. Now, going on with this, His thoughts, His ways that are higher than wicked and unrighteous ways and thoughts. They're not higher than my thoughts when I'm thinking the Word. They're higher than my thoughts when I'm not thinking the Word. They're not higher than my ways when I'm walking holy. They're higher than my ways when I'm walking wickedly. But He's telling me if I'm doing that wickedly and I'm thinking unrighteously, that if I repent and return to the Lord, He'll abundantly pardon and I'll get back in His ways and I'll get back in His thoughts. Y'all catching this? Okay, we kick that cow over. Now let's go a little further. Still along the same lines. Poor old cow. For as the rain comes down, here's how God works. This is His thoughts. This is His ways. This is the way He works. Okay? And this is how He thinks. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. In other words, it increases, it brings a prosperity, it brings blessing, it brings success, it brings peace. It's like the rain that hits the ground and causes the ground to produce.
Yes. Amen.
Give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. That's my way, that's my thought. My thought's not to take stuff away from you, but it's to give stuff to you. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, he goes on. As the rain comes down, snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth, causes it to bring forth and bud, that may give seed to sow and bread to either. So shall my word be. Woo!
Amen.
Like rain that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
That's good.
Where did He send it? To me. To you. So how is it ever going to prosper? When it gets in me.
Yeah.
Now if I'm just hard rock ground, I mean that water is just going to run right off. But if I'll open up and receive that water, it'll cause increase. If I'm hard to the things of God and the Word of God, and I'm not listening to it, and it's just bouncing off me, it's not going to prosper because it only prospers not on, but in the thing whereto He sent it.
Yes.
The word did not profit Him, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I love that. You know, the word's hard to take if you don't believe it. You get an unbeliever in here, so you can't force somebody to believe. You can't force someone to serve God. You can't force someone to go to church. I believe it was Alexander Pope that said, where the deed is forced, the grace is marred. Go chew on that a while. That's a good
right one.
I like that. Can't force the deed, the grace is marred. But if you just force somebody here, you can't. It doesn't get in them. It just bounces off, you know.
Yeah.
And the Word's got to get in us to work, and we got to receive it. That ball is just hitting them, and it's just bouncing, hitting them in the head and the heart, and it's just bouncing because they're not receiving.
Yeah.
I love that. So when we come to church, we ought to come ready to receive the Word as it is in truth. Word of God, not the word of men, which effectually works in us who believe.
Yeah.
His great, exceeding great power to usward who believe. And His word, which doesn't return to Him void, but prospers in the thing whereto He sends it. So there's an obligation on our part that every sermon really is not just the preacher preaching. We got to be receiving.
Right.
We got to say, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I receive that. I receive it. That's God's word. I'm going to work at my life. I'm going to put that in my marriage. I'm going to work at all my kids. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start praying that concerning my body and concerning my business and finance. I'm going to start praying for my mind. Hallelujah. So I get up and I don't get the wrong verse when I start a sermon. I'm going to start praying that word. I receive that word. And it'll begin to work. And those spiritual organs, better word, those spiritual organs will begin to work, and they'll digest this word, and they'll produce fruit, and they'll start working. Because if you get it in there, your spirit will take over. You get that seed in the ground will take over. Then your life will be different. I got to read this and close it. I know it's late. I'm sorry for keeping you over here, but this is it. What will happen then? You shall go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing before you. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree, the crepe myrtle trees. I've got them all around my house. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. All as a result of receiving the word and knowing God's ways and His thoughts. Repenting of wicked and unrighteous thoughts. Returning to the Lord and letting the water of His word get inside of us and produce, effectually produce and work in us that believe. You know, I've said this often, and you caught it, I'm sure. But we don't come to church to find out if we believe. We come to church to find out what we believe. I don't read the Bible to find out if I believe. I believe the Bible. I read the Bible to find out what I believe.
Yes, sir.
So when I read it, I need to believe it and say, that's the way it's going to be for me. Be it unto me according to your word.